Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. For the Christian, life is often hard. We may feel alone and tempted to take shortcuts from God's path. But Jesus stands before the Father as our intercessor, praying for his own, that we might be able to persevere. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. Today we continue a series on the inheritance of the redeemed, blessings given to everyone who believes in Jesus. Now, Erwin Lutzer tells us about the gift of an intercessor.
Well, if you know anything about me, you do know that I love to engage people in religious topics, hoping for an opportunity to talk about Christ. And when I do this, I never have an argument. Once it came close, maybe twice, but never have an argument. There's no use doing that. And always being respectful. The Bible says we should respect those with different opinions. And if we don't respect them, why should we listen to them or they listen to us? One day I was in a cab with a Muslim driver and I just asked a random question. It was somewhat random. I said, Muhammad has been dead now for several centuries. What do you think he is doing? What is his occupation? What is he up to? The driver thought for a moment and said, nobody knows and nobody can find out. So he pointed out that it is really different than Jesus, because we know that Jesus didn't stop being the shepherd of his sheep when he went to heaven. In fact, he continues it today. Jesus didn't stop being a redeemer when he died on the cross, was raised, and went to heaven. He continues his redemption work. We don't know everything that Jesus does for sure, but we do have some insights as to what Jesus is doing today. The Bible speaks about him as being our advocate, that is, one who defends us. It speaks about him being our intercessor and our mediator. We know that Jesus is doing that. This is actually the sixth in a series of messages titled The Inheritance of the Redeemed, Blessings That Belong to All Those Who Put Their Faith in Christ. And today's blessing, we are going to sail to the heavenlies. And when it's over, I believe that your life is going to be changed. The context in which we're going to look at Scripture are the context, really, of persecution. Christians found the pressure to live for Christ so strong that they were tempted to give up the faith. Just like we sometimes find that pressure today, though we have no idea of what all the saints in the past have endured. In fact, it's written to those who are going through periods of doubt. Is Jesus really all that he claimed to be? Can we hang in when life gets difficult? I hope that at the end of this message, you'll realize that you can hang in when life gets difficult. I hope you also realize that if you're planning to sin, and some of you may be planning to sin this coming week, that you recognize that that is such an indictment regarding the Savior, whom we are going to expound upon, that sin is never a good idea. I hope we learn all that and more. Two passages of Scripture that we're going to use, and we have to use both. Both of them are in the book of Hebrews, and I want you to take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter 4, and also 7. Now, I thought I had it in my Bible, and I'm sure that unless somebody pulled the pages out, the book of Hebrews is here somewhere. I don't think anyone did. I was just sitting beside Bill, so I don't think he'd have done that. It's the last verses of chapter 4 of Hebrews and the last verses of chapter 7. In my Bible, there's only a page between. Now, if you have a phone or other means by which you are watching or reading, you'll have to go back and forth. And if you are listening to this by radio and you may be driving a car or running on your treadmill, whatever it is that you're doing, remember, last verses of Hebrews chapter 4, last verses of Hebrews 7. I'm going to take time to actually read these verses. I'm picking it up in chapter 4, verse 14. Since then, we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. Let us hold fast to our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Now chapter 7, just turn the page at verse 23. The former priests were many in number because they were prevented by death from continuing in office, but he holds the priesthood permanently because he continues forever. Consequently, is able to save to the uttermost those who draw near to God through him, since he is always living, he always lives to make intercession for them. For it was indeed fitting that we should have such a high priest, holy, innocent, unstained, separated from sinners, and exalted above the heavens. He has no need, like those high priests, to offer sacrifices daily, first for his own sins and then for the sins of the people, since he did this once for all when he offered up himself. For the law appoints men in their weaknesses as high priests, but the word of the oath, which came later than the law, appoints a son who's been made perfect forever. The reason I'm using both passages of Scripture today is both of them have to do with the advocacy of Jesus, Jesus as intercessor. And today I may be using the word advocate, intercessor, interchangeably because they essentially mean the same thing. Here's what we're going to do. I'm going to give you four characteristics of Jesus as our intercessor, four characteristics. And then we'll talk about the implications, the life-changing implications. And we're going to be using both passages in the process. I hope that our intention here is very clear. The first characteristic of Jesus as our intercessor is that he is sinless. You'll notice we read it there in chapter 7. We have a high priest who is holy, innocent, undefiled, unstained. And in chapter 4, it says he was tempted like we are, but without sin. The sinlessness of Jesus. Now, we must understand that Jesus had a fully human body, mind, and soul. Totally, completely, 100% human. You know, that explains why sometimes he made statements that are mysterious to us, that he didn't know when he was going to return to earth. He said, nobody knows that. The angels don't. The Son of Man doesn't. Just the Father. And you read that and you say, well, didn't Jesus have omniscience? As God, he did. And sometimes he displayed that omniscience. But oftentimes he was thinking of himself and operating in the incarnation, not depending upon his divine attributes. And that explains also why he even made the statement once, my Father is greater than I. Well, not in essence, we know that, but greater in the particular incarnation that Jesus was experiencing. But he was totally sinless. Now, I've told this story many times. It's probably the last time you will hear it, but it's necessary, especially for students that are here. You remember at the Parliament of World Religions where how I've told you how I went down in the Palmer House where there were about 100 different religions with their various propaganda and information. And I went for a search on for a sinless Savior. I went to the Buddhists. No, Buddha didn't claim sinlessness, enlightenment, Baha'u'llah. I already knew as I went to the table regarding Islam that in the Quran, Muhammad indicated that he also had sinned and needed forgiveness. So here I am. I'm looking for a sinless Savior. And I explained to the people, and they had very blank looks on their face, when I said, I'm a sinner and I'm looking for a sinless Savior because another sinner can't save me. I need somebody who is above the battle. You know, in Florida, there was a toddler who fell into a swimming pool. The grandmother, in desperation, hopped in after the toddler. Both of them drowned. because neither of them could swim. And that's the way the religions of the world are. Not to put too fine a point on it, but other religions say this: look, I'm a sinner, but I'm telling you how to live. Let's join hands and go to the bottom of the lake together, enjoying it to the extent that we can. We are sinners, and we need somebody to save us who's sinless. Jesus meets that qualification, and I also believe that that's why he was virgin-born, to protect his sinlessness. All right, first of all, Jesus is sinless. Secondly, he is sympathetic. He's sympathetic. We read it there in chapter 4 when it says, "We do not have a high priest." This is verse 15, I think, "who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who has in every respect been tempted as we are, yet without sin." He can sympathize with us, tempted in all points. Now, of course, that doesn't mean that Jesus experienced every single temptation that human beings ever would experience. That's not possible. For example, he'd have never experienced the temptation that perhaps a woman has, because Jesus wasn't a woman or a married man. And so what it means is that Jesus experienced the essence of temptation for all of us. My friend, this is Pastor Lutzer. This message is so critical for us to understand. I have to say that until I preached on the intercessory work of Jesus Christ, I had kind of taken it for granted. It was in the back of my mind. But I had no understanding of the tremendous blessing and encouragement it is. Do you realize that if you're a believer today, you have not only a Savior who saved you from sin, but somebody who's at the right hand of God the Father interceding today and representing you to the Father? This message is actually part of a larger series of messages entitled The Inheritance of the Redeemed, Blessings That Belong to All Who Trust in Christ. I want you to understand those blessings. I want you to be able to share those blessings with others. And that's why in a moment you'll be given information as to how this entire series can be yours. Because the Bible says that in Christ, God has given us all things. And what a blessing that is to know that we have been so overly blessed and to enter into that inheritance. And by the way, if we've been a blessing to you, if you have come to saving faith in Jesus Christ as a result of Running to Win, would you share that with us? Go to moodymedia.org. Simply go to moodymedia.org. You'll find a contact button. Let us know that we've been a blessing to you. And thanks so much for joining us. Call a friend. Tell them to listen to next time, because I'm going to continue this series of messages on the gift of an intercessor.
The Bible reveals Jesus as our great high priest, a mediator between God and those who believe. He was sinless and sympathetic to the temptations we all experience. Next time, more on our wonderful intercessor. The Inheritance of the Redeemed is an 8-part series we'd like you to have on CD. We'll send it as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. This is Dave McAllister. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.